Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, Larry Sonnenberg, sitting in for Steve Arterburn today, and I'm blessed to be here with Dr. Alice.
Hello.
The one and only.
Gentlemen, hi.
And with Chris.
Yes, you
Chris
drew Williams. The short straw today, right?
I'm not going to touch that one.
That's a yes. Okay.
You know, we were talking just before coming on the air, the whys in life. I taught my kids a long time ago that why is not always the right question. With certain things in life, you know, why did Grandpa die so young? We're never going to know how to answer those things. But there are things that we need to investigate, and like, why are we doing what we're doing? Why are we agreeing with ourselves to live in the mess we're in and not figuring it out?
Yeah, because there's these patterns that we engage in over and over and over again, whether they be our own behaviors or whether they be relationships or even job situations, and we get baffled of like, how in the world did I end up here again? And so one of the things I see, Larry, is that we have driving the bus underneath all of the other things, deep down in our core, is an organizing principle. Now, our organizing principles are hard to recognize because oftentimes they got there very early in life, most likely through painful experiences that weren't able to be healed.
You're making me think of the guys in Every Man's Battle.
Yeah.
Because one of the things we try to help them see is why they're running to porn or affairs or things.
Yes, you know, yes.
What is it in their life that caused that?
Yeah, and so that organizing principle can look a lot of different things. We call it sometimes a shameful message, but the organizing principle may be like, I'm unworthy, or I'm not good enough, or I'm unlovable. And so what happens is that drives a pain point inside of us that we want to avoid. And so we spend the rest of our lives trying to avoid it and also trying to medicate it. That's where the addiction stuff comes in. That's where the porn and the sexual acting out comes in, because and the irony is that it only feeds the organizing principle and reinforces it. So it's so critically important that we engage in the work to see the why underneath all of this behavior.
And even if our addictive behavior is less obvious, most of us are trying to ease our discomfort with the things that we do on a daily basis. So we're more comfortable in the present, but it prolongs the growth process that leads to true joy. And that's what God's sanctification is all about. It's facing the pain and entering it in the right way so that it actually diminishes, resolves, and then becomes a blessing in our life.
Yeah. And I think when we pay attention to it, we realize eventually what we need. And fulfilling those needs is what's really important. And so one way that looks is comparing this. Coping versus caring. Coping is trying to medicate my pain or medicate my discomfort. Caring is trying to address it and work through it. And so we must learn that difference if we're going to mature and we're going to grow in these essential areas, the difference between coping and caring.
And I think grabbing our smartphones or whichever screen is nearest is probably one of the abuse or addictions that most of us are engaged in, and we don't even know it's at a problematic level.
Are you talking to me today?
I'm looking at you. I'm staring you down, sir.
It's a bit of an oxymoron that we are so comfortable in our discomfort.
Yes.
That we're afraid to take that step and to realize that a little bit of pain can make a big difference in how we move forward in life.
And we need a guide. We need someone to help us get there. And so this is where we come in. This is where New Life is uniquely positioned by God to help you get down to your organizing principle and begin to care for it and find your way beyond it and just coping with it and staying stuck in it.
So if you want to talk about the why and wonder why you're doing some things, give us a call. 229-3000. It's an 800 number. Give us a call. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. Before we take our first call, I want to just remind you, you can check out the weekly episode of Going Deeper. It's premiering today at 5 o'clock Eastern on our YouTube channel. And you can catch it every Wednesday. Steve takes you deeper on an important topic. He's going through the alphabet A to Z. This week he's on K for knowledge. So tune into that. Let's talk to Kate. Kate is calling from Washington, D.C. from YouTube. She watches us on YouTube. Hello, Kate. How can we help you?
Yes, hi. How are you all doing today? Thank you for taking my call. I have a question. I wanted to know, how do I set good boundaries with my two adult children?
Give us a little more. What kind of boundaries are you looking for? Sure. What are they doing?
Well, my 18-year-old daughter, we recently found out that she's pregnant. And so we wanted her to stay at our home because she's been going back and forth to her boyfriend's mother's apartment. And she refuses to stay home. She'll come and go. And we're tired of living like that. And also my 19-year-old son, he's addicted to marijuana. And we've asked him not to smoke in the house or around the house. And he is not smoking in the house or leaving it in the house, but he's still smoking outside on our back porch. And we don't want that anymore. So I don't know what to do.
And Kate, how is your husband addressing these with your children?
Not very well. He might yell and get upset. We're also a blended family. So my husband and I both came into the marriage with our own children, and our oldest is my husband's biological child, but he considers me mom because he doesn't know his biological mother. And my daughter and her father don't have the best relationship. He's bipolar with hallucinations, but it's getting better. He's medicated.
So the 19-year-old son is your husband's biological son, and your okay, and your stepson, okay.
How long?
Go ahead.
So let me go back to this. So your what has been your approach so far? So your husband, he tends to get mad. He tends to yell. What do you do?
I was mad and yelling too, and saying, "No, we're not going to. You know, we're not going to take this anymore." We had with my oldest, we had where I had to get him kicked out. It was one incident where I had to call the police. Because he wouldn't leave the house, and I didn't want a huge argument to start, and he grabbed a knife and threatened to hurt himself, and then he left. But so it's been back and forth. It's been going on with him for about 3 years. We've been struggling with this marijuana issue.
Yeah. So Kate, let me jump in here and let me address what I think is a bigger problem than the lack of boundaries. The bigger problem that sounds like in your home is that there is a lot of anger and frustration and fear, maybe even a lot of sadness underneath the surface and all of that. And it doesn't sound like anyone's getting to that. I mean, I agree.
No, we've tried. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree that.
Counseling with him.
That boundaries need to be set around, and again, boundaries, I think it's important we open the show with a why. A lot of times we're trying to set boundaries and they're sort of chaotic. We maybe machine gun them, or we sort of set one out one day and another out the other day. And so those really aren't boundaries. Those are temporary fences that are easily knocked down. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes we build walls. And again, a wall, it can be a boundary, but it really shuts people out. What we want to be able to do is identify what is most important here, what is most valuable. A boundary protects that which is valuable. You know, it doesn't. A boundary doesn't necessarily say, "Oh, I just don't like this." It could be that, but really, what it is about a value. Now, again, I think that you're going to be in for a long road here, because we're looking at a 19-year-old whose biological mom abandoned him. Yeah. We're looking at an 18-year-old who is has a father who is incredibly chaotic. Those are serious, serious woundings. And most likely they're behaving in unhealthy, very unhealthy ways out of those places. And so, of course, there's two approaches we want to take here. We want to set boundaries around that which is unhealthy. But in love, we also want to keep going after what's underneath the surface. And you mentioned that your older, or that your son, you got counseling for him?
Right. But he's been kind of sporadic in going and wanting to go. That was one of the stipulations that my husband set of him staying in the house. My daughter was in counseling, but she refused to go towards the end, so they discharged her.
I'm going to make a different suggestion for counseling. I would suggest that you go in as a family, that you do family counseling, everyone in the room together.
And if the children won't attend, if they refuse to attend, you and your husband go, and you go for as long as is necessary to be able to increase the warmth in the home as much as it has to do with you, and to manage and resolve and use the anger in a holy way rather than in an attacking way. And as you and your husband do the work on yourselves, it changes the dynamics of the home. Boundaries don't tend to work well when there's a lack of sufficient warmth. Your anger and your fear for your children, you couldn't feel any other way given what's going on in your son's threatened self-harm. But you and your husband can do a lot of work on yourselves to increase your empathy and compassion for your children, and then set healthier boundaries. I'm hearing two missteps in boundaries, which are totally normal. This happens to all of us. One is, I think you folks have made some empty threats that you haven't followed through on. Right. And so then you lose authority and you lose power by doing
Absolutely.
That. The other one is, I think you're trying to convince your children with your words to do what is right, but it's not working. And that's where the enforcement of consequences with a whole lot of warmth, that does the convincing rather than the angry words and the raised voices.
Right.
So getting back to the basics of boundaries are, this is what I will accept in my home, and then this is what I'll do when you make your choices about whether or not you're going to follow my rules. And I think you and your husband are missing a bit of that end of it. But warmth has to come first.
Find that helpful, Kate?
Yes, I did. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And we have some great therapists in the D.C. area, part of our network.
We sure do. So if you want to talk to the call screener, she can transfer you over to somebody who can help you find a counselor. I was thinking of Take Your Life Back for her.
Can we send two?
Okay.
Come on, Larry, let me twist your arm. Understanding and loving a child, or loving
there you go.
Someone with addiction. The substance abuse.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those will be coming to you. Thank you so much for calling us. Oh, the pain. I'm always just struck. I don't know why I've lived here. I've worked here going on 18 years, and I'm always struck by the pain people are living in, dealing with. It's just, it hurts.
It does. Yeah. We're trying to manage a lot inside of ourselves, and we need to keep finding the ways through and out. And
let's talk with, it's like MJ in Boise, Idaho. And I'm a little bit attracted to Boise because I have family there. So MJ, talk to us.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
About 8 years ago, my wife got really sick with a bunch of autoimmune disorders, and she had some horrible migraines, horrible headaches. They never went away. It's just constant. We were in a low time financially and stuff about 4 years ago, and I felt the calling to come back to church. I've been kind of a backslider for the last 25 years. We went back to church. She got baptized about 2 years ago. I got baptized last year. About 2 years ago, she started getting into the New Age stuff, and I was concerned. I talked to one of my pastors about it. He said, just love on her. Don't worry about it. It's just a phase. It's been growing and growing and growing, and it's gotten to the point where she's now a high priestess and a energy healer, and she's starting her own business as an energy healer. And, of course, I don't support this by any means. I'm very against all this stuff. But our marriage, we're both going different directions. And I've got a pretty strong discernment. I don't know. God gave me a strong discernment of spirits. I don't know. I didn't know that till last year, but I've always been creeped out by people that did this kind of stuff, and I'm now married to one. And it's just really the spiritual warfare that goes on in my house, and just, I don't know. I don't know what to do anymore. I'm to the point of, you know, ending it. There's other issues. You know, there's been some drug addictions and stuff like that, but there, it's just,
MJ, which one of you have struggled with drug addictions?
She had a pain pill addiction, and she spent, you know, of course, the doctors, the last 7 years, the doctors were giving her pain pills for her problems, but she credits, you know, her healing powers of getting her off the pain pills.
And do you two have children?
Yeah, I've been praying about it for, we got four, and I got one getting ready to deploy to the Middle East, and I got a younger one that's has tried to commit suicide and cutting and thinks that she's gay and all this other stuff. Mm. So,
and how young is the youngest?
12.
12. Mm. And in your 25 years of backsliding, I appreciate that honesty, what was your significant unrepentant sin during those years?
Drinking.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you been sober now?
It wasn't like a constant, well, at times it was constant. It was just, I don't know. I have an occasional beer with a friend of mine. I don't drink. I will not have more than one beer. And that's very rare. So, you know, a couple times a year, maybe.
And tell us,
I've been sober for three or four
years. Okay. And what's the structured help that you and or your wife have gotten for what you're dealing with now, in addition to the support from the pastor or asking the pastor for advice?
Nothing. I mean, she wants to go to, if she went to marriage counseling, it'd have to be to one of her kind. And of course, if I go, I want to go to a Christian one. So, but that's out of the question now. That's not even talked about.
Does she want to divorce you?
I don't know, because she tried to start this business all of a sudden. And, you know, I don't know. She knew that I was not going to support it, and it was going to cause a big rift in the household. I'm assuming that maybe since I'm not willing to accept or support what she's doing, I'm assuming that maybe that's the direction it's going.
And what's your question for us with some real concerning things going on? How can we help you today?
I just need a direction. It seems like the people in this valley don't, the pastors and stuff, they don't want to touch, you know, they don't want to touch this. Or maybe they just don't have answers for this.
Yeah, they don't know what to do.
I feel like I've... Yeah, they don't. And it's like, you know, I feel like I should... It's hurting me spiritually, just because of the spiritual warfare and a lot of the stuff that goes on in the house. But I don't want to hurt the kids, but it's kind of like, you know...
Okay, we get the picture.
So the hard thing here, MJ, is that you're right. You can't control your wife. Can't control her thoughts, her feelings, her opinions, and then ultimately what she does. And so I do want to give you a direction here today. And it's going to be a little different direction. And that is, you have a girl in your home who is suffering deeply. And she needs some serious attention here. Some loving care and guidance. Because when we're talking about a person that is self-harming, that has suicidal ideation, that speaks to the level of chaos and confusion and pain that she's dealing with on the inside. So it's important that she be able to get the help that she needs and be guided in that. So finding a good help for her, and I think even addressing it with your wife, of like, hey, here is our, if we don't have anything in common, here's our commonality. We have a common crisis. And that is our daughter's in deep pain and danger, and we've got to find a way to get her the help that she needs. Whatever happens with us, you know, maybe, who knows, inevitable. We're going to hold out for God's hope in all of this. But again, we need to get her the help that she needs. That's the immediate crisis I see you're dealing with right now.
And MJ, I agree that your wife's spiritual pursuits are very dangerous. But I want to turn the microscope on you by saying you have been an avoidant and passive husband who has minimized his own part in this. And not intentionally, I don't believe, but there are a lot of questions you haven't asked your wife. I suspect she feels unpursued and unknown. She probably feels like you don't care. I don't think that's the case, but I think she feels that way. And so even if she's not willing to engage, you have so much work you can do on yourself that will send a different message to your family and will protect your whole family better.
Okay, we'll be back right after this, so hold on.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live, and we are on the phone with MJ in Boise, Idaho. And MJ, Chris here, and we were in a lively discussion, heartfelt discussion over your situation, because it is complex. It is difficult. I understand why pastors didn't know what to do with this thing, because it's messy. But here is where we want to start. We want to be able to restore safety as much as humanly possible in the home so that the kids are able to express their own experiences, their own struggles and difficulties, as well as experience love in the midst of it all. And so your opportunity, though it may seem limited, is to go into, I think, with your daughter and start doing family work. If your wife would be a part of it, that'd be great. I don't hold out great hope for that, but if she would, that would be fantastic.
And three other children.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you may have to compromise on a non-Christian therapist and a non-New Age therapist so that you and your wife are hopefully able to meet on neutral ground. You just need
a good therapist. Yeah.
And I don't think it's time for you to pursue divorce, MJ, because there are a lot of other biblical principles about sin in our household that you haven't yet followed, which is your own work and then having some of these conversations and asking some of these questions of your wife. You got to do that groundwork before you decide if the marriage has ended or not.
Thank you so much.
My daughter is in counseling right now.
Oh, good. That's fantastic.
She goes twice a week. That was the first thing that happened. I'm not a fan of the counselor because she's very, kind of the same as my wife, very New Age. But she is good with the kids. We have had many conversations. We had a big one last week, 2 weeks ago, where, you know, my wife started telling me that, you know, white Christians are the problem with society, and
So let me jump in just really quickly here. Okay, there's a lot of things that are out of control, but you'll see throughout the biblical narrative that God uses very unlikely and very strange people and places, and even a donkey, to proclaim His truth. Yep. So stay open to what God may be trying to communicate and the truth that emerges in the midst of all of this. And again, obviously, hold tightly onto your faith as you trust in the love of Christ to guide you through this.
But preach by actions, not by words. This is not a time to argue about Christianity. It's a time to show Christianity, because you're going to humble down and you're going to do your work and figure out your part in this marriage. You can do this, MJ.
What kind of book are you guys recommending?
How about Healing as a Choice?
Okay. We're on that same wavelength.
Healing is a Choice coming to you. Just a reminder, we are going to be on for another hour after this. So keep the calls coming, 800-229-3000. And let's now go to, there was someone up there, there we go, line 4. And that is Joy. And I can't read the city from here because the red line makes it blurry.
Asheville, North Carolina.
Thank you. How can we help you?
Hey, oh my, I can't believe I'm actually live. I love you guys and appreciate your help through the years.
Great.
Thank you,
listening.
Joy.
Yeah, so my question is, I'm in Asheville.
All right.
The Blue Ridge. my question is whether to stay in my current relationship that is heading towards marriage, or to end it now and try another avenue of dating somebody else and start over.
What's your best reason to stay and your best reason to go?
My best reason to stay is that he does have all the internal qualities that I've desired, as well as my standards of what I believe would help in a marriage. But then, so that's the main reason, is the internal qualities. And then the reason to go would be because I'm not as physically attracted to him as I have been with other men in the past that I've dated. And he does struggle a little bit with alcohol. It doesn't seem too severe, but it's a struggle for him. He'll go to it. I've heard him quite a few times on the phone slurring, and he says that he'll stop. But it's a bit of a pattern that I'm noticing.
I wonder why you're minimizing his drinking.
I think because he minimizes it so much. Sure. Like it's something he gives over to the Lord, and it's something he can stop, and he's not.
And Joy, who in your family of origin also drank?
My mom.
Excessively alcoholic. How bad was it?
She's in denial. I would consider her borderline alcoholic or on the spectrum, less severe, but it's still something she just got a DUI for, and she still says that it's not a problem.
That's not mild, by the way. That's a feedback mechanism that says even legal troubles are not a wake-up call. That's on the severe side.
Yeah.
Well, Joy, we're gonna have more for you right after this break. You're listening to New Life Live.
Okay.
Give us a call, 800-229-3000, and make a gift to New Life. When you do, we'll give you a book called Understanding and Loving Your Child with ADHD. We'll talk about that later, too. So we'll be back right after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the New Life Member Thank You Gift of the New Life Journal, 100 Days of Peace, 7 Ways to Choose Healing, Growth Has No Boundaries, a Restoration Bible, and a New Life Grocery Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits, like access to the Club New Life Video Library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Hey, we're back, and we're talking with Joy, and she's trying to figure out, do I go towards marriage or do I, you know, find somebody else? And Chris and Alice have had some really good insight.
I think, Joy, you put a pause on all relationships right now, to be really honest. Because I think there's just too much confusion. And you're speaking to, like, hey, what is alcoholic and what is not alcoholic and all of that behavior. And one of the things that makes alcoholism or any sort of addictive process very, very difficult is that it is impossible to become truly close to that person. We don't learn authentic intimacy in addictive systems or relationships. And so... and so then we're even confused about attraction. But let me give you a working metaphor for marriage. Oftentimes we go into relationships and we're sold this bill of goods in our culture. It's like going into get a new car, like a new, something fresh and shiny. So if I have a lot of confidence, I'm going into the local BMW dealership and I'm looking around and I'm getting the hot thing and it's awesome. It smells great. It has all the gadgets. It's quick off the line. Yep. But eventually, I take it to Costco and it gets a ding in it. Eventually, it's going to need oil change and tire changes. And eventually, the new model is going to come out and be more attractive. So a consumeristic approach to relationship is failed before it even begins.
And that's our culture.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Marriage is like two people that walk into a salvage yard. And the salvage yard is their life and their history and all the things that make them them and all the experience that they have. And they then begin to pick up pieces to build something together that will work over the course of a lifetime. It's work and it's hard, but it's also beautiful and collaborative. And the qualities that you want to be looking for first in yourself and then in another person is what are the things that it takes to build something well over the course of a lifetime.
And that alcohol issue is red flags for us here. And if he's not working on it, if he hasn't done a 12-step, if he hasn't gone and had treatment, boy, run. But if he's willing to do that, maybe there's something there. But there's time. Don't jump into this.
And Joy, oh girl, you have a high tolerance for alcohol around you because it's been around you your whole life. And so he's probably doing better with alcohol than your mom does, even still. So he seems safer to you. But a man of good character is the kind of man that doesn't say, I can stop, don't worry about this, it's not a big deal. He's a man who says, I realize my intoxication problem, my alcohol abuse, maybe even addiction, it's not good for us. It's not holy. It's not biblical. And I've already been doing 90 meetings in 90 days. I've got a sponsor. Don't even think about dating or marrying me without a whole lot of sobriety. 6+ months of total sobriety. Don't waste your time on me if I'm not doing that. That's what a good man is willing to do, not just say.
You feeling better about what you need to do? You have a little more direction? You're willing to do it?
I hear what you guys are saying, and I really value it. I just want to make sure I understand that it's saying take a pause on my relationship with him and everybody else.
With other romantic interests.
And find a group of women to support you.
Because I want you to be surrounded by a circle of women who have that kind of anger in their voices like I have in mine, because I want to protect you. And I'm saying, don't you come near my Joy, because she's waiting for a sober man. She's waiting for a man of God who plays it out in his character and behavior every day. You need a tribe of women around you who are willing to say the same thing for you.
Joy, thanks for calling. What book?
I think Take Your Life Back.
Take Your Life Back?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Joy, we'll be sending that to you, and we really appreciate you calling us. Okay, Amelia, Fort Mill, South Carolina. How can we help you today, Amelia? She listens on a podcast.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. The reason I'm calling is I am looking for some advice on how to restore or build my relationship with my adult son, who's 39. I think, from what I hear, he's been diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. However, he's not told me that. He's told another family member that. And I'm not sure that it may include social anxiety or maybe even something else. I'm not sure. But
so, Amelia, he struggles with anxiety.
Yes, and he's had some panic. And the thing is, the things that when we try to communicate, my daughter and I, it's like things get twisted in his mind, the way he thinks. And I feel stuck. Like, I don't know how to approach him.
Where is Dad in all of this?
Absent. I am divorced, 14 years. I've been remarried for 10. And since divorce, the dad has been totally zero. I brought a couple things to his attention before, and he just says I've not done anything to him. And
okay, so I have a follow-up question. So Amelia, so when you see your son struggling and you see his anxiety or his problems show up, what happens inside of you?
I get very nervous and scared for him because he usually, when that happens, he shuts everybody out. He shuts people out.
Yeah, okay, so let me...
Like, he'll have good times.
So let me jump in here. Let me jump in.
Anxiety myself.
So, yes, so there is a contagion of anxiety in the relationships. Do you see that? And anxiety has a way of doing that, especially with parents and children. And so what happens is that when he shows up anxious, what your response typically is stop being anxious so I don't have to be anxious.
Hmm.
Right? So he feels...
No, I don't feel that way. I try to, after several years of this, I have learned that when he tells me he needs space, He usually does it in an angry way, and I calmly tell him that I understand that. I just want him
good.
To know that we love him, we care about him.
Mm-hmm.
And I back off because that's what he's asked me to do, but it leaves me concerned for him because I don't want him being alone. You know, I don't want him...
But Amelia,
for me as a parent, I don't want to feel like I'm failing that.
Do you know what it is about you that overwhelms him? What are some of your imperfections? I got them too. What are your imperfections that overwhelm you?
Okay. I think what it is that I'm the one that's still there, and he blames me, I think, for a lot of things because I'm the only one he can blame.
But tell me about your
imperfections.
Amelia.
Amelia,
hold on.
Hold on,
Amelia. Mm-hmm. It's a little hard to talk with you, girl. It's a little hard to have a back and forth dialogue. And if I'm feeling that, your son feels that. I know your heart is for your son. I know that. You're a little sped up in conversation. Can you accept that from me?
Yes, I can.
All right. I thought you would be able to. Now, tell me about your imperfections. I know you were trying to go there.
I think I don't know if I call it my imperfection. I care. I try to be.
Do you notice that it's hard for you to talk about the negative about you?
Well, I don't know. I guess maybe that's what I need to know is, you know, what is my negative to him? But
well, Amelia, I think you. I think you said it well.
I really want to know.
Absolutely. I think you said it well because I think there is a starting point that we can reverse engineer to figure out what it is. And you said in the midst of all of this that you don't want to fail as a mom. And that's a big deal.
Yes.
You know, and so if his anxiety is a sign of your failure, his anxiety is too painful for you. And so,
well, he's actually said also that he does have his anger comes from pain.
Yes,
and I totally understand that.
Absolutely. And so, the key factor here is unhooking your condition as mom from his anxiety, and then opening up the space to hear what he struggles with. Because if his struggles mean that you failed, you can't hear that. That's too painful. But if his struggles mean that he just struggles and there's these things that have happened and we can all just kind of accept that and then start addressing the issues to move on towards greater healing and growth. And there may be some things he blames you for that are not yours and you can't take ownership of, but there's maybe some things in there like, oh yeah, I did see that. It doesn't mean I failed as a mom. It just means, like Alice was trying to get to, I have some shortcomings I got to work on.
Oh, sure, and I have addressed.
Okay, we're going to a break. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back. Before we go back to Joy,
Amelia.
Yeah, Amelia, I'm sorry. I just want to remind you that we're here another hour. And if you're looking for the wise in your life, if you're struggling with fear, anxiety, grief, whatever it is, relationships, give us a call. We want to talk to you. And Alice and Chris each have a thought for you, Amelia.
Amelia, I want to share a confession with you, which is not always easy to do. I am an anxious mom. I'm a high-performing mom who can put tasks and completion over love. And when I'm very anxious, I'm irritable, I'm distant from my children, and I can be too harsh on them. I am an imperfect mother, and when I'm in those anxious modes, it's hard for my children to come to me and bring their heart because I'm too hurried and I'm too upset.
Yeah, when we're dealing with our children who are 39, our adult adult parenting, adult children is really challenging and difficult. It's a much, much, much different dynamic. And I do think that we need to respect the autonomy. But I also think that it starts here. When my child or when my son or daughter does this, what happens inside of me? Because it points to what I have to work on and what I need to do. And the other aspect of that is, why are my children avoiding me? And it could be a lot of different reasons. But I find that, Amelia, with you, one of the things is that you want to increase your capacity to listen and listen without fixing. Listen without controlling or trying to, and I know, and I hear that that's some of the work that you've been in, but we want to really take to heart, you know, the verse in James, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Listening, one of the big misconceptions about this is if I listen, then I agree.
Yes.
Or one of the huge misconceptions out there is if I empathize, it means I agree. No, I can understand you, and we must be able to develop the maturity inside of us and the muscle inside of us to say I empathize with you and I can disagree all at the same time and still maintain connection. And I just think that we've lost that in our culture. And I'm just going to call it out, because we are relationally immature people. We don't know how to disagree and remain connected and still loving all at the same time. But listen, Jesus shows us that really well.
And oddly enough, when we lead with our weaknesses rather than our strengths, we are much more appealing to the people around us, and we lower the tension level in the room when we can lead with our
weaknesses. You're more appealing to the Holy Spirit to come in and fill that void, too.
Well said.
So. Well, Amelia, we're going to send you How We Love, and hope that that's helpful to you and that your relationship is restored soon with your son. Before I go and talk to Michael, I want to just remind people we're here another hour. If you make a gift to New Life, we'll send you this book, Understanding and Loving Your Child with ADHD. A lot of kids get labels these days for a lot of different things, and don't think that if your kid has one of those labels like ADHD that he can't live a normal, positive, successful life. This book will help you see that.
And Larry, if I can say something, because you mentioned something about a label, whether it be any of the things that we talk about, addiction, depression, anxiety, bipolar, whatever it may be, those aren't identifying labels. Those don't define a person's identity. Those explain a set of problems a person is struggling with. That's it. And so we must be able to put those back in the right categories. And so these are things like ADHD is a tool for helping and healing, not a weaponizing against someone's character. And we must put those back in their in the right categories.
And you got me in trouble the other day because you were talking to the women out in the office on your way out. We were talking about ADHD, and you were describing things, and it. It was me.
He was describing Larry.
Yeah. And Rhonda came home and told me about that.
And you'll just remind her that Chris said to use it as a tool, not a weapon.
Rhonda.
Don't use it against me. Use it with me.
Michael, I'm going to ask you to hold over to the next program. I hope you'll do that. We don't want to cut you short. We have a few things we want to talk about here right now. One is workshops. We've got a workshop. Next live workshop coming up is Every Man's Battle. And I want to remind folks, when you sign up for workshops, these live workshops, we have early bird discounts. And 2 weeks before the workshop, that early bird ends. This Friday is the last day for an early bird sign up, which means you get $200 off your registration.
Wow.
And it helps us to know how to staff when we know how many people are coming. Yet it could be the case if you wait to the very end and you try to sign up and we don't have enough counselors to man things, or the room's not big enough or whatever, you might not get in. So we don't ever want that to happen, but I want to encourage you to sign up early. So guys, Every Man's Battle, sign up now. Before Friday, you'll get $200 off. And I want to entice you with this. This is from an earlier workshop. Brian was his name, and he said, "Every Man's Battle opened my eyes to how deep this goes into my being, into my soul. It has also opened my eyes to hope. Hope that I can become a man of integrity and help to heal the many wounds I've caused my wife. My vision is to be a husband who guards, strengthens, and loves the heart of my wife, and to be a father that prepares my children for their own upcoming battles. Eventually, I pray God will use me and to help others who battle this issue." So that's what happens when you go to Every Man's Battle. It changes you. We see the Holy Spirit do a work. You're not going to walk out of there fixed and everything's done. You're going to walk out of there prepared, supported, understanding, and knowing what you got to do to make it better.
Yeah. You know, I often refer to it as a doorway. You know, we've been living in a really, really painful, ugly, harmful space.
Yeah.
And Every Man's Battle provides you the doorway out. Now, you still have to live in the new space, right? And that takes a lot of work and a lot of time. But we need the doorway. Guys, if you need a doorway to a new space, please check it out. And not just check it out, engage with it, go through the door.
We have a conference coming up. It's called the Repurpose Life. It's our Life Recovery Conference this year. It's going to be in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, in person. It's a new and different venue for us. It's going to be at a church there. And we're looking. Chris is going to be there. Steve's going to be there.
Oh, I got some things planned.
You're armed and loaded.
So yeah, Becky and I were on the phone yesterday. We're not just planning some good talks. We're planning some transformative experiences for people.
Okay, well, come to Sioux Falls. If Chris gets his way, he'll do fly fishing before.
Yes.
We also have a new workshop coming. It's going to be online. It's Fearless Parenting, Preparing for the Teen Years. So if you're a parent, whether it's a blended family, a single mom, a mom and dad, solid marriage family, whoever you are, we can help you with that. We're going to have some really good speakers at that. Jim Burns will be speaking from Homeward Ministry along with Steve.
Alice.
Folks, if you have concerns about your children's smartphones and their digital behavior and what to do, do we limit, do we enable, do we take our hands off, we will help you with that. We're going to give you so many practical, research-based, biblically-based steps to take to help your kids.
And Jackie MacHarris, that's the other female that will be speaking. We have a Restore workshop in person, Washington, D.C., November 12th to 14th. And we have an Intimacy in Marriage workshop in Dallas, October 15 to 17. Same thing there for the early bird signups. So look at those. You can get early bird right now. Thank you for listening. You know, Psalm 1 tells us what not to do if you read the first few verses in order to be blessed, and then it tells us the things we need to do. Take a look at that. We're trying to help you with that, and we love you, and we hope you'll call us for the next couple hours. 800-229-3000.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.